Paul is saying here, in hope of eternal life, it's a certainty. Eternal life is a real thing. It's something I'm looking forward to. It's something that is not merely a hope that I would like it to happen, or it may happen or may not happen. It will happen. It exists. Eternal life is something that Paul is saying, I possess. This is a great expectation, a great confidence, a certainty, a surety within his heart. And what is it based upon? The God that cannot lie.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. And I'm Andrew Fitton, welcoming you today to our program and wishing you and your family a very happy and prosperous year for 2025. I look forward to joining you each day as we preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Give you a warm welcome to our first week of radio programs for 2025. Each new year brings change, and Let the Bible Speak has changed for this year. Since the 1980s, our host has been Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we are thankful to God for our brother's ministry here on the radio and in our church in Cloverdale. We thank you for listening to our programs over the years and appreciate your support, calls, emails, and encouragements in this preaching ministry. From time to time, Pastor Gallagher's preaching will feature on our program. The time has come for change, and I trust that the Lord will bless us as His gospel continues to be preached here on Let the Bible Speak. I'm your host, Andrew Fitton, and I've been the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church since June 2023. As we stand at the door of yet another year in the grace of God, we can have many questions upon our hearts. What will happen this year? What exciting circumstances will come my way? What difficult path will I have to walk? What things will remain the same? What things might change? The reality is that each year brings change for all of us. We are reminded from the Word of God of the immutability or the unchangeableness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We can rest secure in our confidence in the Lord and in His gospel, the good news of the saving power of Christ for helpless sinners. This is founded upon this great unchangeable truth that our God is a truthful God. We take you today to our pulpit in Cloverdale for part one of our message on the subject of living for the gospel of the truthful God, taken from Titus 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. We thank you for tuning in, and may the Lord bless you richly as we let the Bible speak.
To draw your attention afresh to the second verse, the verse number 2, where Paul says to Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. When we gaze upon the world today, when we look at the newspapers or we look online, or we view social media, there is much information for us. But one of the interesting things we find is that depending upon the source, depending upon who that source is, depending upon the views and the principles and the agenda of that source, the interpretation of that information can differ. It can differ. We can think of those who accuse others of fake news, a term that is quite popular in recent years. And we can often wonder, is this true? Is what we are reading here, is what we are listening to, is it true? Is it verified? Is there some sort of an agenda behind it, twisting it and saying these things for a purpose? And when we gaze at the information of man, what is true? And the understanding of truth in today's generation is an interesting concept. In all of history, humanity has never been in such a position as this, that access to communications and access to information is basically continuous. I could bring my cell phone out now, and within 10 seconds, I can Google any particular topic. I can find information on anything we want to find information on. I could say, let's pause a moment. I'm going to find an illustration to emphasize this point. And within 20 seconds, there are many things available at my fingertips to do so. Such is the great stream of information. I'm not going to do that, but such is the great stream of information that we have in front of us and on us constantly. And therefore, more voices than ever can add their own thoughts and their own ideas and their own opinions to what the truth about a matter actually is. And therefore, not only as God's people, but as human beings, we need discernment. Discernment regarding the truth. Discerning what the truth about a particular matter is. However, despite all the cloudiness of what man presents as truth, there is what we can refer to as absolute truth. Truth that can never be denied. The truth of Almighty God. And in the epistle to Titus, a pastoral epistle written by Paul to a young minister, the apostle here is instructing and directing and encouraging young Titus in his ministry. And we see here that the opening words of this epistle bring us right into this particular subject of truth and what will be our subject this morning. Verse 2 tells us, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This hope, the hope of eternal life, hope is an expectation or something that can be looked upon with confidence. That's what the original Greek word means here, that is translated in our English as hope. We may say today, I hope that Vancouver will win the Stanley Cup next year. And we all know what that means. We may hope for it to happen. We may want it to happen. But in reality, it is probably a lost cause. But the biblical idea here and the use of this word and its roots in the original language imply a confidence. Vancouver will win the Stanley Cup next year. It's a totally different perspective. This is going to happen. And of course, in order to look ahead with such confidence to something that will happen next year, such as this, we would need to have real sure evidence to build that idea upon. And when we think of Scripture, when we think of eternal life, Paul is saying here, in hope of eternal life, it's a certainty. Eternal life is a real thing. It's something I'm looking forward to. It's something that is not merely a hope that I would like it to happen, or it may happen or may not happen. It will happen. It exists. Eternal life is something that Paul is saying, I possess. This is a great expectation, a great confidence, a certainty, a surety within his heart. And what is it based upon? The God that cannot lie. The God that cannot lie. Paul is saying here, there is eternal life, salvation, justification, heaven with Christ for all eternity, eternal life for those who are eternally dead, because there is a God that cannot lie. That is what he's basing this upon. Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And Paul is driving something home to us here. Not only that God cannot lie, but the importance of that particular truth. It's fundamental. Dear congregation, we cannot deny this. This is something that is fundamental to our faith. If God can lie, then we have to pause and evaluate our entire spiritual life and our spiritual existence and evaluate human history again and evaluate the scriptures. What is truth and what is not truth? And we realize then we're not built upon a solid rock. We're built upon a rock that is crumbling and cracking. A rock that will be no rock at all. Because God is not a God of truth, but praise God, he is. And that is what the scripture declares to us this morning, that God does not lie. Man lies. And how men love lies. And how men desire to further themselves through lies. But that is not our God. That is not our God. And Paul is setting forth to young Titus that he serves a God who is incapable of lying. And dear congregation, when we approach the scriptures of God, we must come in this frame of mind. We must come with this upon our hearts, that these scriptures are indeed the scriptures of truth from a God who cannot lie. They are truth. And what is the great application then of that to us? Well, if we come to the Word of God and we see it as God's truth, we need it. We must immerse ourselves in it. We must love it. We must desire it. We must seek to follow it. How wonderful these scriptures are. Maybe this morning you have doubts about the gospel. You have doubts about God, doubts about your salvation. Dear friend, the gospel is true because it is founded upon a God who cannot lie. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? One of the great answers to our doubts is believing that God is true and believing that his word is true and taking it as God says to take it. Oh, how these glorious truths ought to remove the doubts that Satan brings. When Satan tempted our first parents in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He did the opposite to God. He lied. He tempted them through lying. And lying is the opposite of God. Lying is sin. And the apostle here in the verse 1 of Titus 1 is an apostle of what? Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Paul is an apostle of God. He is a preacher of this truth. His life has been changed by God. His life and ministry is founded, we could then say, upon this truth that God cannot lie. And Paul, as he journeyed through the ancient world, and as he endured hardship and shipwreck and stoning and persecution, his whole ministry was founded upon that fact. God is not a liar. God is the God of truth. The gospel that Paul proclaimed was the truth, and that motivated him to go forward for Christ and to preach his word, to reach out to lost souls. Not to sit back and think, well, at some stage, someone will get converted. And that someone will reach out to them. And I can stay here and I can stay and live my life and serve Christ where I am. And well, someone else can go. Paul was motivated because he had the truth. He knew the truth. And those to whom he went preaching, many of them had no idea of the truth of God, no idea about Christ. There in Athens, Acts 17, there was an altar to an unknown God. And what did Paul do? Paul used that and he said to those people who were listening, this unknown God, him I declare unto you. He preached Christ. He preached God, the true God, in a generation where there were many false gods. The truth that God is true, that God cannot lie. Paul built his life and his ministry upon this by the grace of God. And therefore, this great fact that God cannot lie, this great truth should impact you. It should impact me. It should impact this church. It should impact this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to consider this morning, and probably next week as well, living for the gospel of the truthful God. Living for the gospel of the truthful God. And that is what we are doing as believers. We are living for the gospel of the truthful God. We are here because of the gospel. We are alive in Christ because of the gospel. We are alive in eternity because of the gospel of Christ. And it is our duty here on earth to live for that gospel. To live for the gospel of the truthful God. And I want you to see, first of all, it may be the case that we just get through our first point this morning, but we are to acknowledge the existence of gospel truth. We are to acknowledge the existence of gospel truth. Oh, this is the problem in the world, is it not? Gospel truth is denied. This world, this nation, those within it deny the existence of God and the existence of his truth. And despite what man says, truth, an absolute truth exists, and that truth is found in God. The Lord is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. He is good. He is true. We can think of his attributes. We'll mention those in a moment. When you look at the attributes of God, and you look through books of theology, one of those attributes is God's truthfulness. God's truthfulness. Matthew Henry said that divine faith rests not on fallible reasonings and probable opinions, but on the infallible word, the truth itself. God is true. God has given us an infallible word that is true. But I want you to notice here in the verse 2, there is an emphasis placed in our text upon this hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. There's a confidence, as I've mentioned. We can rest assured that there is eternal life. We can rest assured in this great promise. And we can think of the promise of God, promised before the world began. We'll delve into the depths of that as we move through this passage, perhaps maybe next week. But there's a wonderful promise. The promise of a Savior, the promise of a Deliverer, the promise of Christ. And when we look through the Old Testament, what is the Old Testament building toward? It's building toward the birth of the Messiah, the one who would bruise the serpent, the one who would come into this world to deliver the people of God. And the existence of that gospel is built firmly upon the existence of a God who cannot lie. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, one of the confessional documents we hold to as a church, teaches us who God is. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And truth is an attribute. Theologians refer to this, and it is a good term, I believe, a perfection. It is a perfection of God. Truth. God's truthfulness is one of his perfections. I do not have any perfections. You do not have any perfections because we are fallible creatures. We are sinners. We are not perfect. Therefore, we have no perfections. No matter what our spouse may say about us being nice, we are not perfect. We have our flaws. We have our failings. We have our sins. But God is the only one who has perfections. And these attributes are perfections. He is perfectly wise. He is perfect power, perfect holiness, perfect justice, perfect goodness, and his truth is perfect. Absolutely pure, absolutely spotless. And God is inseparably connected to truth. When we think of truth and absolute truth, God is connected to that in such a way we cannot separate the two, because he is the source of all truth. And dear congregation, we must understand that God is truth. That all the truth that we see, all the truth in Scripture, it flows from God. It flows from God. In Exodus 36 or 34 verse 6, it says, "The Lord is abundant in goodness and truth." Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. This chapter has contained within it the Song of Moses. And verse 4 tells us, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways of judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he." And what is Moses doing here? He's praising God. He's acknowledging who his God is. He's teaching us theology about the God of heaven. A God of truth and without iniquity. How marvelous that is. I want you to notice the verse 31. It says here, "For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." Verse 37, "And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted?" Now verse 4 refers to God being our rock. And verse 31 speaks about the enemies. Their rock is not as our rock. There's a difference here. A difference between the gods, the rock of the enemy, the gods of the heathen, and the true and living God of heaven. There is a difference noted. Our rock is different. Their rock is not as our rock. And what is our rock like? He is of truth. He is without iniquity. He is pure and spotless and holy. But the gods of this world, well, our God is unique. He's different. He's different. And dear believer, as we consider the fact that God does not lie, that is something that is immensely important to us to understand and to believe and to found our lives upon, that our God is a God of truth. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And then verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And John here is connecting the light and the darkness with truth and with lies. We find verse 6. "If we say we have fellowship with him, but we're found in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And we see here this connection. The truth is connected with the light, and God is light, and lies and deception and sin is connected with that which is darkness. And as believers, we are to walk in the light. We are to flee the darkness. We are to flee the lies. We're to flee to the God who is of all truth. The God of all truth, the faithful and true God. And the Word of God proves that God is faithful and true. It declares in Jeremiah 10, verse 10, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King, the true God." Scripture itself says God is true.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. and we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.